And welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have another episode of the Box Office Report Show. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Larry Chilson. Hello.
Hey, we back.
We are back. We're back. What's up, Larry? What's going on?
I know, I've been sick the last few days.
What happened, Larry? What you got?
I don't know. I'm over here.
You finally got the COVID?
Over here with my little DayQuil and ish.
Not the DayQuil. Are you the only one that hasn't gotten COVID?
I think so.
I think you are. How the fuck? Larry didn't travel across the world and he never got the COVID.
In that goddamn San Antonio for a whole ass week, and the COVID was like the convention got canceled due to COVID, and I couldn't refund my stuff, so I had to go anyway.
Jesus Christ.
You were one that went to the theater too, right? For Tenet?
I went to the theater for Tenet. But that was after a couple of months because I wasn't. What was the first couple of? Yeah, because I was still too scared to go see Godzilla versus Kong.
Because it was. I remember those were the day. That was one of my first trips back. I did a little vlog and everything.
Yeah, I was too scared.
Me and my grandma. We had our little masks. We each had our gloves, and we had our wipes.
We wiped down
them seats. Well, we wasn't playing.
The first time I went to the theater was for I don't remember if it was for a Quiet Place Part 2 or if it was for Tenet. I think it was for Tenet. Yeah, cuz wasn't Tenet like 2020?
Yeah, Tenet.
Yeah.
Then it kind of closed back down again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they popped up for Tenet, and there was something else that kind of tried to release around then. And then it went back down for like Trolls or
Croods 2
was back, and you know, Wonder Woman was back to like, nah. But yeah, it was wild. So I mean I wasn't as crazy as some folks. Some folks were hopping state lines for that Tenet. They were like flying across the country because their states weren't doing it. Like, Lord, I think Tyler had to drive. He had to drive down to DC, I think.
That was a crazy time. And I remember, like, it was like theater was only like 35% capacity.
Yeah. It was like you had to have like two seats on every block of you. So, like, you know, you couldn't get a seat. Once you clicked your seat, it like grayed out all the seats around you.
Yeah. What a crazy time.
It was crazy.
I told Hannah last night on the live show that just 2020 is just like probably the dirt worst year. Like the worst year of all time. It has to be.
Yeah.
And then I was like, name me one good thing from 2020.
And now we low key, I mean, we don't have the pandemic yet, but we in for a repeat. Chiefs and the 49ers in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs winning. Biden versus Trump again. I mean, I'm like, shit, we're playing 2020 all over again.
Don't do this because I can't do another virus, bro.
Wild. Like, what? I don't know. I mean, like, part of it was terrible, but low-key, I was popping off on that unemployment a little bit. Like, I can't
Not
front.
You and Dana, man. Dana was on that shit.
I said, I can't front too bad. I was popping off on that unemployment.
Yo, y'all was getting more bank than, like, I was shook because my job didn't close. I was shook. My ass was still working. That was some bullshit.
I was home. I was like on that little unemployment.
That's some bullshit.
All summer long. I was like, okay. Shoot.
Y'all a mess. Well, all right. I guess let's get into the box office for this weekend. Easter weekend box office, I might say. Did Monday? It wasn't like different on Monday's box office, right?
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at the weekend of March 29th, 2024. We had the opening releases of Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla X Kong. I don't know, dude. The New Empire. And then we had some small releases, Tilu Square and Crew. What the hell is going on? So, Larry. Let's get going. What came in number one?
Right. Coming in at number one, absolutely crushing any and all industry projections, We have Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, which made an amazing $80 million in its opening weekend. That marks the second biggest opening in the MonsterVerse, only behind 2014's Godzilla, which opened to $93 million. It's also the second biggest opening of the year, just barely behind Dune Part 2's $82 million opening weekend. It also scored an A-minus cinema score, which ties for the highest in the MonsterVerse. And it's still up at, I believe, 92% audience score. So even though the critic rating is not great, audiences seem to really be on board. And I think that bodes well for, hopefully, legs. Mm-hmm. But in addition to the $80 million domestic opening, it also made $114 million overseas in its opening weekend for $194 million worldwide opening weekend for the Titans.
Man, this number just makes me so disappointed. I was happy seeing this because I was like, this is redemption for Godzilla versus Kong. But this made me so disappointed at the end of the day. Because that first Godzilla versus Kong could have, like, done something fierce had no pandemic been around it. Like, I think it honestly would have done, like, Jurassic World, like, 2 numbers, you know? Yeah. Not the first Jurassic World, because that was just ridiculous. Yeah, no, that was, you know? Wild. But I think, like, Jurassic, what was it, Fallen Kingdom or whatever?
That was like 140-something.
I really think it could have gotten over there. I think it could have gotten that big monster flick blockbuster box office had the pandemic not. Yeah, so Fallen Kingdom did 148, and I really think like Godzilla versus Kong could have done like easy 130 and above, you know. It crushes me because I still think they marketed it, this one, really, really well, but the issue is that like you just lightning doesn't strike twice. And remember that first trailer for like the Godzilla versus Kong? And everybody was hype. Everybody. Yeah. The way they did it, they didn't market it like the first trailer. They didn't market it as like a slow, methodical monster flick. They marketed it as a boxing match. And it was great. And everybody ate it up.
That was the thing. Is they had such a built-in thing. They were literally, I mean, most of the team, Dwayne refused to buy one. But most of the team, we all bought, like, the Team Godzilla or Team Kong. Like, they literally went in on the whole team aspect. And people bought into it. People were all about that team aspect. The coverage was everywhere. Everybody went out and saw it. Like, if you didn't see it in theaters, we saw it, you know, at home. But
my mom and I watched it when it came out, you know, because she was still kind of, you know, intimidated by the theater, which I understood.
Which, I mean, I think anybody can understand. And we were all happy at 31 million. That was like, whoa, okay, this is by far the biggest opening we've seen, you know, in the pandemic era, and it's opening in HBO at the same time, so people are just watching at home. And I think the HBO number was really good for viewership. So I agree. I mean, it would have made it had such a good built-in premise I think it could have done great. But I think that 31 million maybe skewed people's idea. Because this, you know, we were like, all right, we're just hoping for 50 based on projections, our predictions. We were like, all right, let's go with 50 million. It crushed even the most optimistic of the projections with 80. I don't think anybody, I was like, oh my God, is it about to beat Dune Part 2 for the biggest opening of the year so far?
it was nuts because, it was so close to Dune. I didn't even realize it was so close to Dune. But it was so nuts when I went to go see it Saturday. I went to go see it Saturday in my theater. I haven't heard a roaring clap in such a long time. But like when they listen, brother. Okay, this movie is not like good. Okay, it's like there's problems all around it. And like, you know, you got to get those people who like focus on that more. But at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. And the thing that I want, I got. Like, I really wish they saved the run for the trailer. I mean, for the movie. I really wish they did because I was expecting it. It was still fucking awesome when it came up. But I was like, oh, man, I really wish they would have saved that. It was kind of like with No Way Home, how Sony and Marvel were like fighting because Sony wanted to show Toby and Andrew.
Of course.
And do. Then, you know, of course, Marvel was like, no, we got to hold it because if they know, it's not going to be the same. And yeah. They're right. There's going to be a pop, you know, like for instance, Dr. Octopus was in the trailer. He still got a pop when the movie, you know, when he came on the screen. But his pop was not even near Toby and Andrews. You know what I mean? Because the speculation and the buildup. Obviously, like Godzilla and Kong running together ain't the same thing. But just the aspect that they're going to team up, I really think that would have got like a roarous reaction in the theater. I really think it would. And then fucking Godzilla jumps on his back. And like there's this dueling shot. Oh, man. I was geeked up. Yeah. I was so excited.
It was really fun. Yeah, even at our like press screening for it, which was in IMAX, our theater was very vocal several times throughout, and especially at the very end. So,
I wish I was there. I would have been. That sounds awesome.
I think that's just the thing, is that a lot of, you know, I understand, I guess, the critic rating, but not really, because I actually think that the human stuff in this is better than Godzilla vs. Kong. Like, it's not good.
Where was Millie Bobby? What happened there? Is she like dead or something?
I mean, I low-key thought that too. And I was like, you know what? They said, girl, go to college or something. I don't know. We don't got time for you and your family in this movie. We need somebody entertaining. Dan Stevens, come in. But at least.
I was fine with that, though.
Yeah, Dan Stevens was funny. I was like, at least they're like having some fun with these human characters. Right. Yes, Rebecca Hall is just here to dump exposition. But listen, whatever.
Can I ask you a question? Because I wasn't able to do the review. I was gutted not to be on the review.
I mean, I mentioned it in our review. We thought maybe Godzilla Boston was still experiencing some tech difficulties since Godzilla wiped out city in that one movie. Because his computer said, not today.
Yeah, I was gutted to be on. It was the review I actually wanted to be on. I really wanted to be on it just to like geek out about the movie. But. Did you find Brian Tyree Henry annoying? my mom and I did. It was getting there. I was like, all right, you know.
I think he just definitely got outshined for me by Dan Stevens. Like, Dan Stevens was the better comic relief in this movie. He was all right. I like the little Gia. I like her as a character.
I like her, too. I don't like I didn't really need, like, this whole...
Mom?
Well, yeah, okay, it was just getting a little too insane. I know it's Godzilla versus Kong, but once they open like this portal thing, I was like, we're getting a little too out there.
Especially because my problem as a big Godzilla nerd is that they could have incorporated a certain Titans. I'm not going to say it because they haven't showed this Titan in any of the American marketing, but they changed their backstory and it was so easy to not change their backstory. Like all the pieces were there. And instead they used this Titan to kind of propel a Gia weird kind of
it was
story weird. That you're like, what is going on with this girl?
The human stuff was really like
wild.
It was just getting the myth, like the mythology of it was just getting a little too kooky for me. Like, I don't know, there's like crystals everywhere and I was like, I don't know about this.
I don't know if they were nervous. I was kind of shocked they didn't have any sort of credit, anything. Like, no little Easter egg, nothing.
I mean, it's hard because that first one, it's like, that's the big one. And then that would have set the tone for, like, them coming back. Yeah. And this would have opened, obviously, better had that first one.
And now they know. Now, for sure, I'm like, they're going to green light another one. Like, I can't imagine. Hopefully, they bring Adam Wingard back because he understands, like,
he gets it.
The over-the-top tone everybody wants walking in. We don't need no serious monster movie.
And that's what I'm saying. The thing that's great about having this Godzilla movie is that we have, I think, isn't Godzilla like open IP or something like that? Like, we have Godzilla Minus One for that. The series, which is a phenomenal movie.
Monarch,
the series was great. Both of them have serious, we're focusing on the characters. Monsters are secondary. Listen, I'm sorry. I think I said this before. If you title a movie Godzilla versus Kong or Godzilla and Kong, brother, I don't want me no drama, man. I don't want no backstories. I just want some action, and that's what I want, okay? The Fast and Furious, obviously, they made like 17 of these. It's gonna overstay its welcome. Like Fast and Furious, it's like nobody's starting to care anymore. But Godzilla, we're still in like the grace period of like, I want more of this. And again, like my theater, I can't tell you the last time. No movie last year. We had a bunch of superhero movies last year. No movie for me. Even the little Guardian scene when they're all together and they fight the hallway or whatever, no moment has gotten a cheer in a long time. That like God, that like what is that? The ground is shaking and I'm like, ah shit, brother. And then, like, you know, things happening and a Scar King is looking over there and you know what's coming. And Godzilla comes out first and Kong is behind him. And like my theater was going nuts. So it's like there's something here with this. I don't know how many times they can do it. Maybe they need to introduce more Titans, but like there's something here with Godzilla.
And yo, I have to say one thing, I think people are starting to get hyped because they've already made a couple memes out of it. And I'm obviously all against filming shit in that movie theater. I don't know. People are wild, but there are two scenes that have literally gone viral from this movie that people just Kong, right? That baby Kong, oh my god, when Kong lifted that little ape up and used his little ass as a weapon, I hollered. Like that was the stupidest but funniest thing I had seen. I was like, what the hell?
I was howling.
And then that other one with that stupid ape yelling in Kong's face and Kong is just looking at him and then he just decks him and punches him in the face.
Oh, he just punched him. And then there's a part in the movie where they introduced the villain and I wasn't expecting what they did. He just starts laughing at Kong at first.
That's why I say Adam Wingard gets it. I mean, they had a lot of like physical comedy moments with Kong specifically. They leaned into him, like, you know, being expressive and being the one we can relate to. And I thought it was fun. And it felt like this one had the most monster action out of all of them so far. Like, they were on screen for a good amount of time.
I just feel like they didn't know what to do with Godzilla for a
Godzilla was one. They were like, we need him. Like, Kong isn't gonna win this fight without him, so he has to be here. We just don't really know what to do with him until the end battle.
and then the lore of, like, why Godzilla's a different color, it just didn't make any sense to me.
I do love everybody just like, Godzilla low-key is a menace. These other Titans are literally chilling in their home. Like, he goes to one of their houses, and he's like, hey, yo.
Yeah, like, he's standing on business. Like,
fighting these Titans for no reason. They're like, shit, I was just sleeping.
And then, like, the other thing, because I wasn't on the review, so I know this is, like, a mini review. We always do this for the box office, for big movies. I feel like they could have explained that Dan is, like, the vet for, like, Titans.
He just drops in to take out a dude.
Yeah, I just didn't need that whole storyline. I was watching it, and I was like, why did this, by the end of the movie, I was like, why is Kong's silver tooth? It has nothing to do with anything. Like, I didn't know
that. That gave us the laugh, I guess. That's when Skull King laughed at his ass. He saw that silver tooth and called Kong a bitch. I'm like, damn.
And making them not like speak is like so much better because like you know what they're saying to them. They're like,
that's why I said that's one thing I definitely give them props for. And we talked about it in our review that this movie has at least two different times where we go for what feels like a 5 to 10 minute stretch with Kong, no humans, there's no dialogue. We're just like following Kong around. And I appreciate that they did that. Like, we don't need any talking. We don't need anybody explaining. They just let the apes communicate. And we were in on what they were saying pretty easily. So I heard that Adam Wingard said the next movie he's hoping, if he does one, to kind of swap and do for Godzilla what they did for Kong in this one, in the next one. So it'll be interesting to see if they're Godzilla focus. I don't know.
Well, like, give more him Godzilla focus. Okay.
Yeah. Look, low key, I kind of want them to do Son of Godzilla and have him and that little baby Kong running amok. Give us a little baby Godzilla teaming up with a baby Kong running amok.
I think the next one, if they do one, is gonna need more Titans, and I think they will have it because I think they kind of blew their load a little bit in King of the Monsters.
Yeah,
it's like all of them are like. I feel like Gilson Kong in Godzilla versus Ghidorah. I mean,
well, that's part of the problem is they've already used two of Godzilla's like iconic, like King Ghidorah is like the, you know, the most popular villain. Godzilla.
Imagine like that. That's the Thanos. This is the third movie, and they gotta fight. They gotta take down fucking King Ghidorah.
And then they used Mechagodzilla already.
Yeah, so it's like, what I'm saying. It's
I mean, they have a few more, but none of them are as powerful. Like, so that's why you're like, well, shit. Yeah. This one, Scar King. Wait, I'm supposed to take Scar King as a threat when Godzilla done took down King Ghidorah already? Like,
come by on, himself bro. On his lonesome.
By
on his like, lonesome.
Like, Scar King, get your ass out the way. Like,
Scar King was gassed, though. I mean, I like the little chain. I mean, he was definitely a black man. I mean, Scar King.
Him and Shimo. Everybody loves them. Some little Shimo now. That's the new fave little titan for the folks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the crystal one, I like that one. I like that. Yeah, I like the ending with like you know what yeah, the wrap, you know the way it wraps up. I think it's cool.
But so this is an $80 million opening domestic, almost 200. We almost got our first 200 million, and somebody mentioned it how great it is to see, obviously the two legendary movies. That almost caused Legendary to leave Warner Brothers with Dune
and
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yep.
Because they did not agree to Warner Brothers' deal. Like, Warner Brothers didn't, if you remember, did not alert them that they were going to be releasing them on HBO Max at the same time as theaters. Yes. And Legendary was like, wait a minute, we didn't sign off on this.
Just dumb, man.
And so they almost lost them. But so it's really good to see both of those movies get their sequels now, and both of those sequels do so well after they kind of got shafted in the whole COVID HBO Max deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. One thing that I do want to say before we move on, I think the opening is absolutely great. Curious as to why it wasn't in 4,000 theaters, but it's only in 3,800.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's weird to me. I feel like this is like a solid... Because look at this. Frozen Empire is still in 4,300 theaters. How the fuck is Godzilla and Kong not in 40,000 plus theaters?
That's really weird that it didn't get a 4,000 theater opening.
That is strange. So, but anyway, I see a lot of people, like, when the box office number came out, a lot of people were like, oh, like Godzilla and Kong can't even, like, get across what the first Godzilla did in 2014,
yeah.
But I want people to realize why that was such a big thing. Like, we haven't seen Godzilla or any type of, like, big monster movie in, like, forever.
Yeah.
And I don't think audiences were too happy to realize, once they stepped in there, the fact that Godzilla has, like, a mere 5 minutes of screen time... Because if you look at the next weekend, this movie dropped. It wasn't like a 50%. This was a 67% drop. Because audience is probably like, what the fuck?
No, Brian I remember Cranston. That. Yeah.
So I don't think we should like, I think Godzilla was like the first monster titan movie that we've seen in a really long time. Really, really, really long time. Now we're accustomed to it. And then audiences were like, okay, you know, like they went to go see it. They were hyped, Godzilla. And then like he's in there for like 5 minutes and then they all didn't come back for the next weekend. So
yeah, it was,
I don't think we should label that.
Yeah, I think exactly. Everybody was just so hyped for Godzilla. Because even Toho wasn't really releasing Godzilla stuff at the time. So even if you were like a Godzilla fan who watched the Japanese movies,
they weren't
giving us much. And we hadn't seen, the only American one we got was that horrible one in like, what was it, 1999? With Matthew Broderick. And the marketing for that was so good too.
Like
that scene where they're jumping out of the plane down.
Oh, that shit was gas.
I mean, that trailer was amazing. Gas. So,
I think that's why people came. And then they're like, oh, fuck, this is like a drama. Because then King of the Monsters, like, it not like it went like 90 something million again. This thing opened at 47.
Yeah, went down to 47. And then what did Skull Island?
I think Skull Island did like around the same, if I remember, like maybe like 60s.
Yeah, let's see. Like, I think it's around.
Let's take a look. Skull Island did 61.
61. So yeah, I mean, so, this is by far the second biggest.
Yeah, the faith wasn't there for audiences yet. They wanted to, I think they want, I'm sorry guys, I think they just want the bombastic like monster movies. So as soon as they marketed Godzilla versus Kong as like a boxing match, and you know, like WrestleMania for like your two monster heroes, people came and people was like interested. And then I think that's what led to this number being the second, you know, the second biggest of the franchise.
Now it'll be interesting. I'm like, is the first Godzilla, or let me see. Trying to remember which one has the biggest worldwide number.
Worldwide.
The first Godzilla made 524 mm-hmm. worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Not really good, actually. King of Skull Monsters Island.
Made. What did Skull Island do?
568.
Okay, and then King of the Monsters 387. So 568 is basically the number to beat, right? Because Godzilla mm-hmm. vs. Kong was
probably low.
Because it got hampered mm-hmm. by, it's in like the fours, I think.
That's still really solid. Yeah, for like...
I mean, again, for what it had to go up, that Godzilla vs. Kong was wild. So yeah, it made 470, almost 500 million worldwide.
Yeah,
so
that's nuts. And I think Kong did a little better because Kong, I thought the trailers were really good. And I think like it kind of promised a little bit the crazy monster battles. He was fighting everybody in the trailer.
That cast was a stacked.
Oh yeah, for Kong sure, Skull for Island. Sure.
So, and I think kind of like the first Godzilla, that was the first Kong movie we had gotten since Peter Jackson's King Kong. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they had the Avengers in there,
and they were kind of like building up this idea of a monster verse.
Yeah, Monarch. And then I remember like when they showed Godzilla in like the what was it, the post credit.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize that they had the rights to this at the time when I watched it. I was so hype. You know,
yeah. Like, so I think this one definitely has a shot at going over 600 million and becoming the biggest of this franchise. Yeah. So good on them.
Do you think they need to introduce another monster?
Yeah.
Like I feel like you can't call it the MonsterVerse with like two. I feel like you gotta. But then who?
Yeah, it's tough.
Did you just create your own one or something? I don't know. I don't know, do one for Mothra? I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously they know the Queen is like probably Godzilla's next most popular, like of the Godzilla mm-hmm. side of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Obviously they could do the Son of Kong, which is what I heard they wanted to do with this movie mm-hmm. originally. Like the original script was supposed to be a Son of Kong movie. And then I don't know who stepped in to be like, we need a sequel to Godzilla vs. Kong, basically.
Yeah, they were like, man, we got.
And that's why I think that's why Godzilla is kind of just chilling for the first half of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they were like, originally wanted to do Son of Kong. But I low key love that he just leaps in the Colosseum, though.
Oh, that shit was funny, man. Go ahead, get your beauty.
I died when he went back there at the end of the damn movie. Like the first time was cute, and then I was like, oh, he really just likes being over here. Oh, he really claimed the Colosseum as his new bed. Okay.
That's his safe space. Let it be. Let him be. That was funny.
Yeah.
It's funny to me because it's very like resemblance of a cat where they find like a space and they just stay there.
Did you see that? Adam Wingard said that him making that decision was based on his cat.
Yeah,
he said it was. He saw his cat do that shit to something and was like, "I'm gonna do that with Godzilla."
And it looks like a cat bed. It's really funny.
He curls up, his tail's all up in there.
It's really funny. I think it's genius. A genius concept to the damn Colosseum. Kong is sleeping, and it's great. Okay, let's go to number two. Let's go to the rest of the box office. And number two, holy smokes.
Number two is got a. Oh, I almost said Godzilla Frozen Empire. Number two is.
Not that.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which made 15.7 million in its second weekend of release. That is a harsh 65% drop in week number two. That brings the new Ghostbusters movie up to $73.2 million domestic and $108.3 million worldwide. You think it's weird that we have back-to-back kind of, you know, long-running nostalgia franchises that have a villain with that does ice powers and they both have Empire in the title?
Well, I didn't even realize that. But I think what happened was just like, you know, it's Godzilla was next. Yeah. Godzilla and Kong was next. And I think, you know, I don't really know where they would push the movie, because like this weekend we kind of have Monkey Man and we do have Godzilla versus Kong in week two. So I don't really know what the best idea is, you know, what weekend would be the best idea for Frozen Empire. But I guess, you know, it's going to. But I feel like also if you moved it, it's going to do what it's going to do. It's not like blowing the world, you know, blowing the socks off everybody, you know? So I feel like no matter where you put it, it's going to do this.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough. It's because we talked about how it just there's so much direct competition for this Ghostbusters movie right now. But I mean, it's doing. I mean, it's already fallen behind Afterlife in its overall total at the same point. So I wonder if it's going to just teeter off, because I don't think, unlike Godzilla X Kong, I feel like people left Frozen Empire very meh. At best, like fans of Ghostbusters even were like, okay, so it doesn't have that like excitement to it that something like Godzilla X Kong has coming out. So I think I'm hoping at least that Godzilla holds up better next weekend. I think it will, because it doesn't have any. I mean, Monkey Man isn't going to do like gangbusters to knock it hard. But do you see somebody talk about the Welcome to the Spring of the Monkeys with Godzilla X Kong, Monkey Man, and then we got Planet of the Apes in May?
Not this. What is going on?
It's all about the monkeys this year. But yeah, I don't know. This is a harsh fall. 73 million. Ooh, 2 weeks and Godzilla beat it in 1 week. Oh, snap.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good thing going forward for Ghostbusters, you know?
What do you? And this budget was like one. Both of them, I think, had a budget of around 150, and it's barely past 100 million right now. Ooh.
I'm still waiting on the like Back to the Future like requel, like they did with, you know, that they're doing with this damn Ghostbusters. I feel like that's gonna be the next one.
Oh, okay. Budget was about $100 million.
Yeah, I don't know. Which is not bad. It's not.
Terrible. That's actually. I'm happy to hear that. I mean, they could. They still might come out okay with that kind of budget. I don't know. I feel like Ghostbusters, you'd think, would take off a little bit better. I don't.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
But even the last one was not like a huge hit. It was a good hit, but it wasn't a huge hit. So.
Just a rough time, too. I think just competition and, you know, Godzilla and then, you know, Dune still doing really well.
This March corridor, like we've talked about, has become really competitive every year. March. Now seems to be like after summer and holidays, it's like March is where you go to release your movies, because we just see it every year. There's blockbuster after blockbuster every single week of March. And there's always going to be at least one casualty. Last year it was Shazam got murdered amongst, you know, the Screams and the John Wicks and the Creed 3s.
Oh my
gosh. Shazam. This year, maybe it's Ghostbusters that's coming up on the short end of the stick.
So I guess we'll see. All right, number three, really solid. The opposite of number two.
Number three, who's just been holding no matter what competition has been thrown at it this month, we have Dune Part 2, which made an additional $11.1 million in its fifth weekend of release. That brings the Dune sequel up to $252.6 million domestic and $627.3 million worldwide.
Lisa Nogabe. Oop. Let's get it. The Chosen One.
What a month for Legendary and Warner Brothers, huh?
Yeah, seriously. What the hell's going on here? What's their next? Like, what's their next one? You know? Like, as far as collaboration, I don't think there's anything coming up. But this is a great a great hold for Dune. Week five, only dropping 37%. The word of mouth is still really strong.
I don't think it's dropped. Let me see. What's like, its biggest drop? It has not had a big drop its entire run. 44% in its second weekend is its biggest drop that it's ever had.
But it's fantastic because it's just doing so well. Now we just got to get it back into the IMAX theaters, you know?
The only weird thing is at the end of this, because I presume Godzilla X Kong is going to hold number one next week. So like Kung Fu Panda did 2 weeks at number one, Godzilla did 2 weeks at number one, and Dune is like the one that couldn't get a second week because of Kung Fu Panda.
Which, oh my God.
It just has been holding at number two and number three all month long, but couldn't get a number one 2 weeks in a row.
I don't think you had to start this, Larry.
Oh!
You don't have to do that to my goat.
Listen, but no, 44% being the biggest drop of your run is actually insane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, this is the Avatar style shit going on with Dune Part 2.
Yeah, I think that's what I think. I think the holds have been great, and we were worried about the holds at first, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's fantastic what's been going on. But Larry, what?
we always
have like some type of animal running in, mad as hell too. All right, let's go to number four.
All right, coming in at number four is Kung Fu Panda 4, which made an additional $10.2 million in its fourth weekend of release for a 38.2% drop. That brings the latest DreamWorks animation up to $151.79 million domestic and $346 million worldwide.
Yes. Still very solid. Another really low drop, 38.2%. 10 million only slashed about like 200 theaters. So I think this is another. It's having like the same kind of fate as Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
So, which has been nice to see. So I think
some nice holds for it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's still like the sole. I think Godzilla vs. Kong, I did see a lot of kids in my theater. So maybe like, but it's still impressive that Kung Fu Panda only dropped 38 because I did see a lot of kids in my theater.
Ooh, and low key, I wouldn't be shocked if Dune and Kung Fu jumped over Ghostbusters next weekend.
Oh, see, don't do that.
Like, they're not that far behind it already.
Actually, I don't disagree with you. Like, next week, I can see like Godzilla vs. Kong and then number two, hopefully. No, I don't think Monkey Man. I think it's. I think Monkey Man's gonna do like number three spot or something next week.
Yeah, I think Dune might claw its way back up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Monkey Man might do, but I think it might be like Godzilla and Kong, and then Dune, and then Monkey Man, Kung Fu Panda 4, and then we'll go from
Ghostbusters.
There. Oh, Ghostbusters! Yeah. Oh shit.
Because what else? The first Omen, that ain't gonna do nothing.
Oh, that's out next. Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it, man. This just keeps happening with these three movie releases. Like, are you seeing Challengers this week?
Yeah, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
It's one of the sole reasons why I'm seeing it tomorrow, because I'm like, when that week comes up and there's like 1,000 movies coming out, I have one less to worry about.
Lord.
It's getting ridiculous.
Let's look at this number five. Okay.
Number five. Yeah, this has to be the. You see, I can't stand when movies start marketing their movies after the fact.
Oh.
But hey, listen, it's working, okay? If it's working, fine. But damn, you couldn't do this shit before it came out?
Right?
I did not see anything much for Immaculate, okay? Then that random crazy person literally sparked their marketing strategy. He was like, what did he say? Like, oh, this is like anti-Jesus, whatever. And then the Immaculate team kind of just went on that and they used it. And then they're doing all this creative marketing. And like, I guess like tomorrow they're doing like some 666.
Yeah, you can go watch it on Wednesday for
$6.66. Then they're doing like this. They were doing something else. It was like they're doing all this crazy marketing shit. And I'm like, well, what the hell good does that make when it's like week two of the movie? But hey, it only dropped 38%, and that's really good for these.
Over like, Easter weekend is wild. Like, we are some heathens out here, y'all. Y'all said Somebody was like, I wonder if people knew, like, they saw the nun on there and saw Immaculate and didn't know what they were walking into for their Easter movie.
Hey, man, they got the ticket. They got the ticket stubs. That's all that matters, man.
But yeah, Immaculate coming in at number 5 with a $3.26 million second weekend. Mm-hmm. As Dwayne said, that's only a 38% drop, which for a little horror movie like this that was actually quite divisive. Like, some people really like it. Some people were like, that was stupid. I hated it. For it to come out with a 38% drop is really solid.
Yeah.
That brings Immaculate up to 11.1 million domestic and 13.1 million worldwide. Again, just crushing it for Neon. As Dwayne said, it's kind of gone a little bit viral over the past week. Lord, and then Sydney Sweeney going viral for other reasons, people making up stories about her. She clapped back and said, I'm glad to see I woke up to rumors. Anyway, go watch Immaculate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The movie has been marketed after. And I mean,
and it's been like all viral.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it's not a bad thing, because, like, hey, at least now people are going to go see it. It's like, it brings you back to all these things where it's like, if you knew how to do something before the movie came out, I mean, after the movie came out, then why didn't you do it before? It's like, oh my God, here's Justice League with no Superman on anything. And then they panicked. Oh my God, Superman's actually in it. Come see it. There's the poster with Superman added to the lineup. Then it's like Birds of Prey. Oh my God, this title is long and ridiculous, and no one's going to know what the hell it's talking about. Oh, just kidding. It's called Harley Quinn. Remember, like, it's like, Lord. If you know that there's like that possibly could be an issue, then fix it before the movie releases. But hey man, those movies didn't do a dime once they did that. At least Immaculate is actually like still holding up. You know, 38%, that's really good for a horror. Really good for a small. It's also really good for a horror that opened small. Like, what did it open to? Like 5 or 6 million?
Like a little over, almost 6 million. And like we said, the reception was really mixed. Like, it's not one of those indie horrors that people, like Hereditary, that people just came out of buzzing. Like, you have to see it. You have to see it. Mm-hmm. This one, some people are like, it's really good. It's crazy. Other people are like, that's not all that.
You finally watched it, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, because remember the last show, I was like, well, hey, what the fuck? You know?
Then we see Late Night with the Devil. Ooh, holding on, even amongst the controversy.
Wait, hold on. You watched it and you didn't give me your thoughts on that last scene that had my ears ringing?
Dwayne, I just hollered that you were talking about my ears are ringing. Came into the chat and said, my ears are ringing.
Larry, but that I'm saying, like, you didn't think, you didn't agree?
Bitch.
Oh, my.
When she bites a certain something in that, I was like, oh, shit. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody do this on camera.
That's
she bites down on something specific in that last scene, and I was like, oh shit.
It's nuts.
We go in there, and I know the Christians nuts. About to lose their damn mind over this last scene.
Yeah, it's nasty and it's nuts. But what were you saying? Late Night with the Devil? 22%. What the hell happened there?
They added theaters. They said, y'all gonna have to stay mad about the AI. We holding strong at the box office.
I still really want to see it, man. It's just like, there's so much stuff coming out. I might have to wait like some VODs for some of this stuff.
Well, you got a Shudder subscription. It's chilling.
Is it on it?
It's going in there in April onto Shudder.
Oh, and Shudder's like $4, bro.
See? Ooh.
Not Larry getting me out of the theater, Larry. Oh,
well, shit. let's see. This, God damn it. Liam Neeson, if you don't sit your ass down.
Wait, what the hell is he in?
Look, I'm just grateful that this was not the last mystery movie, because once I saw Liam Neeson had a mid-budget bullshit coming out, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm about to get burned. In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
That does sound like a Liam Neeson ass movie.
Oh my God, I was like, oh shit, they're about to show that as the mystery movie, huh? Thank God they didn't, even though the one I watched wasn't any better.
Yo, but all these posters always look the same too for his movies, man.
I'm like, Liam, give us a break. Like, what are you doing, sir? Please.
This crew movie, what's that?
Meanwhile, I did see that Asphalt City that's on here, the open.
But hey, listen, what's this film? This, first of all, this Tillu, Square, and crew they only released in like 400 theaters, and they both had like 3,000 plus per theater averages, which
I've never even heard of either one of these.
Yeah, I don't know what these are, but those are really good numbers.
Three hardworking women. What? The working women. That's what the crew is? Okay. Yeah.
What does that mean? Look at your problemista only dropping 19%. That's okay. Good. What are the big drops? American Society of Magical Brothers.
Oh, not the brothers.
87.3% drop.
Yeah, that thing was dead. Yo, it lost 1,000 theaters. It lost
1,000
theaters. They threw that shit out. They took it out.
Damn. That it's just 20 years. You're gonna, the fact that it's gonna cap its run at like 2,400 is like nuts to me.
That is, yeah.
That is nuts.
There's that Wicked Little Letters, Dwayne.
Don't start.
$17,000 per theater average. Okay.
Larry, don't start this bullshit.
No, I saw that Asphalt City. Lord. Okay, well. I see why it's there. I hardly had any marketing. And something else to talk about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That Pixar re-release was a flop.
Yeah.
Luca dropped 60% this weekend. I think in total they made like less than $5 million between Soul, Turning Red, and Luca.
Oh, between all of them, that's nuts. Yeah.
I mean, it was just I don't know. I thought it was a weird decision to begin with because the only people who are going to go see it are like adult animation fans. Like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a family, you just watch that shit at home. Like, you're going to go to the movie theater and pay $100 to take your kids to go watch something they've been watching for 2 years at home?
Yeah, it's all... Yeah, I don't really understand. I didn't really understand the strategy. But, hey, listen, I don't know what's been going on with re-releases, but I saw they're releasing, like, Sinister and shit in theaters again. And I'm like, what is going on? It's like
they're releasing any and everything.
Hold on now. I'm like, Sinister in theaters? I didn't watch that in theaters.
Oh.
So I would be really hyped to go see that. She would not go see movies like that.
No, don't tell her.
She doesn't mind horror movies, but like those possessive ones, she just can't.
Tell her it's something else.
Don't.
You know what I mean? Like, withhold some truth. To get her into the movie theater.
Trying to get me killed like 2 months before. That is crazy. Okay. Listen, I'm about to go see this crew movie. Hold on.
Oh, not the crew. Not the working women, baby.
It's not playing anywhere, though.
But I'm trying to see. I know. That's why I'm like.
So they're playing Insidious. They're playing Invisible Man. I don't know what's going on. It must be a Blumhouse thing or something. Hereditary and like.
They're doing like a horror month, right?
Yeah.
I did see something about that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I missed Sinister. God damn it. I don't see it anywhere.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, I don't see it anywhere no more. Oh, that would have been fucking great. Okay, that being said, let's go into some tracking. See what we can find in the tracking.
What are they tracking our little monkey man at?
Monkey Man right now is currently tracking 13 to 21, which is not bad.
Okay, yeah, we can deal with that. Jeff Patel in his directorial debut, okay. Yeah.
The First Omen, 8 to 13. I mean, it's better than it would be better than Immaculate's opening, but I think that these movies opened way too close together. The trailers like bleed together so badly when it comes to The First Omen and Immaculate that it's kind of uncanny. Like, I remember when I was watching Immaculate, and, like, the trailer came on, and I was like, oh, hey, it's the movie star.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. And I was like, it's like the movie? This is the trailers. And why does it look like a preview of the movie I'm about to watch? It's really weird. So, really awkward release strategy. But, hey, it's going to do well. 18 to 13.
So, if both of those are able to break 10, then I think that should be enough for second place next week, at least.
Yeah. Monkey Man. If Monkey Man can do, like, 20s, that would be awesome.
At least let Monkey Man come out number 2. That's what I want.
Yeah. Civil War, we have it at about 15 to 23.
Ooh, and how do you feel about Old Boy coming forth and saying he's done?
I don't know. I don't think... someone said that they don't believe that he is. And I'm going to choose to believe that because I like him a lot.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Why is Alex Garland saying this right before his movie drops too? Like,
Annihilation.
Does it reek a publicity stunt to you?
A little bit, probably.
Like, he's saying all this bullshit, like, go see my movie because it's the last one I'm ever going to make?
Only thing about Civil War that has me worried is that I just hope it's not, like... I feel like in 2024, like, I don't need this in my movies. So I just hope it's not, like, totally alt-right and, like, racist. You know? That's the vibe I'm getting from the trailer. Because... I was so uncomfortable. Over the weekend, when I went to go see Godzilla vs. Kong, the theater is packed. You know, it was a packed theater. And they showed it in Civil War trailer. And I heard, like, some weird responses to, like, the part where, what is the guy's name? He's in everything. Jesse Palmer. When he's like, what kind of American are you? Like, it was a weird vibe when that line came up. And I was like, I just hope it's not one of those movies. You know, I like the concept a lot, but and I think it's different when, like, The Purge does it, you know, and it's like kind of cheeky. And it's like, it's, you know, I just don't want to see that in, like, a serious type of war drama, you know? I really don't. Not in 2024.
I'm nervous because, I mean, low key, all the people that ran out that theater at South by Southwest say a masterpiece were white. Black critics were not saying that. They were not yelling masterpiece. So I am nervous for Civil War and what it's about to present. I hated Man. So I need a bounce back from Alec Garland because I did.
Is that him? I have to watch that. I have not seen it yet. Ooh. I have to watch it. That's right. Oh,
no, you need to watch it. You're right. We need to get you on the damn watch. But it's such a shame because I love his first two movies. Like,
so do I. Yeah.
Love. So I'm hoping Civil War is more along that because it's back to, like, sci-fi-ish. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Rather than Men, which was... I don't know. Well, maybe Men is a better example because it was trying to be an allegory and it flopped at that hard. So I'm like, uh-oh. Alex, maybe you don't need to be doing allegorical film. I don't know, but...
You're totally right because what you just said, I did notice, but I was trying to, like, Dwayne, you love Ex Machina, you love Annihilation.
Right.
Let's just hope. But it's just the trailer just gave me the icky vibes. I didn't see no dark-skinned people.
I know AMC is doing, like, a first look.
Yeah, IMAX thing.
So I'm going to go on that Monday.
Why is this an IMAX?
I don't know.
So then we have some other tracking news. Abigail, 12/22. Okay, not bad.
Sounds about right.
Okay, then we have, like, a big one. Which I'm actually really surprised by this. Challenger 7/12.
Oh.
I don't know, man. Is it like... Maybe, I mean, I wasn't expecting Challengers to open up to, like, a 30. But, like, that seems low for like, Zendaya and, like, the viralness of, like, the, you know, everyone's making fun of Tom Holland, your man. You know, I'm seeing all these, like... Because he's kissing two dudes. So, I mean, that seems really low for me. It's kind of like when anyone but you was doing all of that, like, press because of, you know, the rumored affair of, like...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And it opened to 12.
Yeah, but then the legs were...
Yeah,
was
the legs were wild. But the opening, we were like, oh, we were okay.
Maybe everyone is just not chronically online like a lot of us are.
Yeah, that has to be it. Luca Guadagnino, he's always a little indie.
Yeah.
But that might be his biggest opening, shit.
I figure, because like, even with Bones and all, it's like, oh, okay, you got Timothy back. That did like a very lukewarm opening.
Yeah.
And then, right. So I thought at least Challengers would do like 20. But it's looking like it's going to do like... low teens, like 12, 11, maybe even 10.
Oh, not me realizing Bones and All made $7.8 million total.
That's nuts. I just thought that was going to be a little bit more as well. You got Lucas, like a horror, body horror, Timothy. Cannibalism, Timothy, you know, Taylor Russell, you know, little mini star in the making. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This number is not. Movie Fall Guy. We're almost there, Dwayne.
Larry, what are we doing? Fall Guy. What are we doing? Why were the first reactions for that good?
Yeah. What was the tracking? What was the tracking for Fall Guy right now?
I don't have it. It's not here on Box Office Pro just yet. No? I think it's because it's too far out. Yeah,
is it too far? Isn't it like a month? They already have an early access up for that too, actually.
When does Fall Guy come out? Let me see.
The 26th.
April?
Mm-hmm.
You sure? What the fuck? Yeah, tickets are available and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing May 3rd it's coming
out. Oh, wait. What is this one that's letting me see it on the 26th?
You better go to that shit.
Oh, shit. Hold up. I just found a little theater showing it on the 26th. What?
Yeah, it's on the 3rd. On the 3rd it's opening. Okay. Yeah, that's the 3rd. But, yeah. So, all right, everyone. I guess that's it for this episode of the Box Office Report Show. Thank you guys for joining us. Larry, won't you let everyone know they could follow you?
Yeah, you can find me over on Twitter at ChiliBoyYT, and then on both Instagram and, of course, YouTube at ChiliBoy Productions.
All right, everyone, you can follow me on Twitter at Cinematic94. You can follow the podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Smitty World. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Larry. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.